We're going to be continuing our study in looking at who am I, and we've been looking at this study of creation, and we've looked over the past few weeks at God creating the heavens and the earth. We looked in detail of what he accomplished over that six-day period and the organization and the thought process that he was working towards something grand. And we saw last week that the apex of his creation is mankind. Man and woman, he said, was created in the image of God. And last week we looked at the importance of what that meant to be created in God's image. Well, today we're going to look at God's commission and man's purpose. So join with me as we look still in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food, and to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to come and to reflect upon the purpose that you have for us. God, we just pray that you would help us to, Lord, give a fresh understanding of what you intended for mankind, and Lord, that we could get a vision today of really what you desire, so that, Lord, as we seek to be everything that you want us to be, that we would realize that we're accomplishing what you desire and not what we desire. So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity this morning to study your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would help us not only to grow in our knowledge, but, Lord, to be able to know how to practically apply it to our life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I really don't watch the show American Idol much anymore. It's a little bit too serious. They're really trying to find the next best pop star. And I'll be honest with you, I don't listen to pop music. I never really have. I can't understand it. My ears just... it just sounds like a bunch of words that I don't even know what they're singing. So for those of you who enjoyed, I'm glad. But a long time ago, I did watch American Idol. And I have to be honest, it probably wasn't for the best reason. It wasn't to see who the greatest star was. I always watched it because I liked the auditions. And my favorite part was watching in the old days when they would put these people on there that really thought that they could sing and they were God's gift to the earth. And they would sing with just all the confidence that they had, and they were absolutely terrible. And if you remember, Simon Cowell would just be there and he would just brutally be honest about how they were. And then Paula Jackson would, or Paula O'Doul would come in and she would be like, "Oh, you look so pretty today," or "Your hair looks," or she tried to find something nice, you know, to say. And then Randy Jackson, the dog, he was there just laughing the whole time, you know, trying to keep it in. And I have to admit, I sort of laughed as well. I sort of found it funny that here were these people that really thought that this was their gift and it wasn't. And, you know, that's okay when you're looking at a TV show. But it's sad when you think about life and when people are created for an intended purpose and they miss what that actually is. And today we want to understand that God has a purpose for you and for me, and we need to make sure that we can understand that. And how do we practically apply that today as Christians? So I want us to begin and look here in verse 28, and the first thing that we see is the blessing. Notice it says, then God blessed them. Man was greatly blessed. And it's out of the blessing of God that he eventually gives us his commands, his commission. But he begins not with anything that we have done. Man has just been created. He hasn't done anything, and yet God's grace has been heavily upon him. And he's blessed him. He created the earth for him. We looked at that. We looked through those 6 days, and we see that he went through all this for the purpose of giving it under the stewardship of man. What a gift. He gave man life. Aren't you glad today that you're alive? Aren't you glad that God created you? He didn't have to. What a blessing just to be alive, to know that God made you, that God made me. And then he created man in his image. We're not like the rest of creation. We're unique. We're different. We're created to live eternally. And we also now have the ability to have a relationship with him. We can be able to commune with God. We can share our heart with God, and we can know God's heart, and we can have this true, intimate, real relationship with the Creator. And we can have true and genuine relationships with each other. I mean, you know, there's a lot in the animal kingdom where they don't celebrate Mother's Day. I mean, you know, the mother has the kid, and then they never see him again. But we're different creatures, aren't we? We have relationships. And isn't that really what makes life truly special? Is the relationships that we have with God and the relationships that we have with one another, our family, our friends. And then not only that, but God provided for all of man's needs. He took care of him, and man was fulfilled, and man was happy. If you looked at the word blessed, it's tied with the root of being satisfied, being content, having joy, being happy. And isn't that what all of us really want in life? Is to be happy? To have joy? To be satisfied? And we understand that the source of this joy is God. And the way that we receive it is only by God's grace. We are his creation. He loves you and me. And out of this blessing that we have received, it's out of that love that we have for him that we should desire to want to live under him and to be obedient. Understand this today. God wants to bless you. God desires a relationship with you. God created you unique and special, so that he could know you. He knows everything about you anyway. He knows the amount of hair on your head. He knows your personality. And he has all this because he desires that you would have abundant life. That's what Jesus came. He says, I have come to give life and to make it more what? Abundant. That you can enjoy all that there is. Now, we know that because man has sinned, we've messed things up. There's going to be difficulties and there's trials. But I want you to understand that God's desire is to bless you. And out of that blessing, we see comes the commission. Notice in verse 28, it says, then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And so we see that out of the blessing of God comes this commission. And this is important for us to understand. The reason that God gives commands is not to be mean. It's not for us to have to do stuff that's hard and just not fun. The reason that God chooses to give us commands is so that we can stay in the blessing of God. God already started with blessing. He blessed man, and we will see that he comes to man and he says, listen, man, if you will just simply do what I tell you to do, you will be what? Blessed. And so it's out of the love of God that he comes and he shows us the way that we're to live. And this is what we need to accept by faith, folks, is that if we will do things God's way, we'll be blessed. And many times we think there's some type of an exception clause. I could just sort of do things my way, or the rest of the world is doing this. And we try to do it their way, and then we're miserable, and we wonder, man, why is life so yucky? It's because we've chosen to go our own way. The reason God told us this is the way to live is because this is the way that we will be blessed. Notice what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Man, isn't that a great promise? That he will make your way prosperous and he will give you good success if we choose to obey him and follow his way. Well, we see that God points to us at the very beginning here. What does he desire for us to do? What is his commission? And I want you to see the first thing he desires is that we would multiply. His desire is for us to multiply. God's desire has always been to be the king of a righteous kingdom. And it was our responsibility to be fruitful and multiply. His desire is that we would have children who would walk as we would walk. We would love God. We would obey God. And then we would raise children who would love God and walk with God. And then they would raise children who would love God and walk with God. And then there would be this expansion as we multiplied. And there would be this kingdom of righteousness and of love. God created us to reproduce, not just physically, but it was his desire that we would reproduce his character in us inside of our children and their children. And there would be this growth and this kingdom. I can remember hearing the news when Christine told me that we were going to have Anderson. And I was so excited. I remember there were tears in my eyes when I found out that she was pregnant. We were expecting our firstborn, and Anderson comes, and he becomes my great buddy. And I mean, from the very beginning, I get him into football. He's just a few months old, but I'm laying on the couch, and he's watching, you know, Monday Night Football with me, and he's learning, you know, here, this is what we're going to be about, son. But then a couple years later, Christine comes and tells me, hey, number two is coming. And you know, it's amazing. When you have another kid, it's not like you have to divide your love. You still love number one with all the love, and you just increase in capacity to be able to love number two like you love number one. And there's a joy that you begin to experience when you see Anderson and Daniel grow up and they begin to play together and love each other and sometimes fight with each other and be able to do things together. And as a father, you look and your joy is sort of increased. And that's what God desires. God loves to see us multiply. He loves to see it grow. He loves to see his family extend. It's not that he doesn't have the capacity. And this is hard for us to understand because we've got billions of people in this world and we go, man, I'm just a number. I'm insignificant. No, you are not to God. God knows you just like you're his child, that he loves you. He sent his son to die for you. He wants a relationship with you. You mean something to him. And he desires for you to be a part of his plan. And this is what God desires, is that we would obey and that we would multiply. But then secondly, notice he says, I desire that you would fill the earth. God's plan is not population control. There's plenty of resources for us to be able to have everybody that we have in this world and more. We just got to be the right types of people that say, you know what? It's not about my greed and selfishness. I understand God's plan, and we're to love and take care of one another. God always knew that as the world would grow, there would be diversity and there would be different traditions and different cultures. But he knew this. We could be unified when we kept our eyes on God. And that we recognize that he was the Father. And I think about how his heart must break when unborn children are killed in the womb. When people are devalued and people are murdered for their tennis shoes. When people hate each other over their skin color or their cultural differences or petty things. And God's plan is to say, listen, I want this whole earth filled with people who have my character and my righteousness and who choose to worship me and love me. And this is what he tells them. I desire to do, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And then finally he says, I want you to subdue the earth. The word for subdue is a very forceful word. It's a strong word. It literally means to assault. What he's saying is, listen, mankind, men and women, you have been charged to subdue the earth. You cannot be passive. It was never God's intention for man to be passive. He came to man and he charged him and said, listen, it is your responsibility. You are to be over everything, over all the earth. And he comes and he gives man that authority. And sadly, man chose to disobey God. But his desire was for man to be over all the birds, the trees, the plant, the fish, over everything. And as God's special creation, he created him to rule with justice and to love mercy, to be able to make those tough decisions when it was going to come. What do we do with these limited resources? How do we minister to everybody? How do we do the right thing? He knew that they would seek him and he would reveal the truth. And so his desire was that we would rule and that we would be active and that we would be seeking God and his wisdom. And then we see the results that are given from this. Notice as we look in verse 31, he comes and he says that the first result we see is harmony. Everything is working as it should. The plants are doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're giving life and they're able to provide the food for everybody. The birds are doing what they're supposed to be doing. The fish are doing what they're doing. Man is doing what he's doing. Everything is working together as it perfectly should. There's no destruction. There's no chaos. There's no pain. There's no suffering. Now, there's different things going on, but it's all working together. You know, I love to hear harmony in music. When you listen to harmony, you're hearing different notes. And if you play the wrong notes together, it sounds really bad. But if you play notes that are harmonized, even though they're different, it sounds what? Sounds full. It sounds beautiful. And this is exactly how the world was working, and everything was working as it was supposed to be. And then secondly, I want you to see that there is life. There is life. There is no death. Animals and men are vegetarians. Did you catch that? He comes and says, listen, this is what you're supposed to do. You can eat like the wheat. You can eat from the fruit trees. If you're a cow or something, you can eat grass. And this is what you're supposed to do. This is what your food is. Because there was supposed to be what? No death. We're supposed to kill animals. Because there was supposed to be what? No death. Everything was supposed to what? Live and live forever. Now, I don't know if this is true. This is just my imagination. I sort of believe that they had these fruits that you would take off the tree and you'd bite into them, and it sort of tastes like one of those cheeseburgers, you know, from In-N-Out. Or maybe you took another type of fruit and it had Rob's sausage gravy, you know, on Tuesday men's prayer breakfast. I mean, that's just my thinking, you know. But I'll tell you this, whatever it was, man, it tasted good. And it was satisfying. It was all that man needed. And God desired that there would be no death because there had been no sin. And what God desires is that there would just be life. And then third, we see that things were good. We see that God evaluated his creation and he waits till he gets to the very end. And he's created all 6 days and he's created the stars, the moon, the sun. He's got the light from darkness. He's got the water and the sky. He's got the fish and the whales and the dolphins and the birds. And he's got all the cows and all the plants and man. And everybody's doing everything. And he doesn't just say that it's good. He uses the term where he says it is what? Very good. That word for very means to be strength, powerful, might. It means to take to the highest degree. God is saying, man, this is perfect. This is exactly how it's supposed to be. It's wonderful. This is what God created for us, and he desired it. This was his highest achievement, and man was in fellowship with God. Man was in fellowship with each other. Man was taking care of creation, and everything was just the way it was supposed to be because man was doing what God had called him to do. Well, let's look at today when we look at how does the Christian fulfill God's commission, because we know that while this is how God intended things, we all know that today it's not that way. We don't live in a world where everything's in harmony, do we? We don't live in a world where there's no death. We live in a world where there's a lot of death, where there's a lot of pain, where there's a lot of sorrow, where there's a lot of destruction. And yet God has this plan for redemption, and he wants to use Christians to be a part of it. And I want you to see that God's plan has not changed. So I want us to quickly look, how does the Christian go about fulfilling God's commission today? And the first thing I want you to see is that we are blessed. It begins by understanding that we are blessed in Jesus. Notice what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, who has made us happy, if you will, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Now, if you continue to look at chapter 1 of Ephesians, you will see blessing after blessing after blessing that is poured upon the Christian because they are in Christ. He says that they are chosen. He says they were predestined, that they were thought about before they were even created, that they were adopted. You know, the Bible says that we're not born children of God. No one here was coming out of the womb as a child of God. The Bible says in John that we have to make a decision to receive Christ. But the moment that we accept Christ, we are adopted into God's family. Amen? Isn't that awesome to be a child of God? To be accepted. It continues to say that we are redeemed. We are forgiven of all our sin. We are enlightened. We can now understand right and wrong. We are given an inheritance. You know how many people are trying to win the lottery? You know, my family loves to go to Vaughn's or Albertson's and get those little Monopoly pieces. We're still hoping. We just need one more, you know. Just one more, you know. And if I'm not here, you'll know that I won, okay? Because I'm just going to be gone. I've won $1 million, okay? Everybody's hoping if there's just some type of something out there that will satisfy. Folks, let me tell you, there's nothing greater than to have an eternal inheritance that God gives you. And when you have that, man, you have everything. Because it doesn't last just temporarily, it lasts forever. And he says you are sealed and you are assured. You can never fall out of God's love. You know that you have eternal life. These blessings are given to us. And how do we receive them? Notice what Ephesians 2 says. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. How do I receive these blessings? How did Adam and Eve receive the blessings? They were just what? Given to them by God's grace. And how do I receive the blessings in my life? I don't earn them. I just what? I just receive them by God's what? By God's grace. And then notice in Ephesians 2, verse 10, though, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Listen, even though I've received the grace and I've got the blessings, God still wants me to keep the blessings. And how do I do that? I listen to his commands and I what? I follow them so that I continue to be blessed. God's got a plan for me. I am his workmanship. He's got good things for me to do. What are those good things that I'm to do? Well, I want us to secondly look at the Great Commission. Because we see Jesus comes and he gives a commission. Right before he leaves earth, he brings his disciples together. Now, if you're about to leave and this is the last time you're going to see a group of people and he's speaking, what type of thing do you think he's about to tell them? Probably something really, really important. Imagine today you're with somebody here that you really like and today is the last day you can see them. Are you just going to say, oh, man, I hope you have a good life? Or, man, I hope you enjoy the weather. It's supposed to rain tomorrow. No, you're going to say something that's impactful, that's life-changing. And Jesus comes to his disciples. He says, listen, I want you to understand all authority has been given to me. In Matthew chapter 28:18, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. And he says, this is what I desire for you to do. Go, therefore, and do what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. First thing I want you to see that God tells us to do, that Christ says we need to do, is first of all, we need to multiply. He says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and make what? Make disciples. Well, who are disciples? The word disciple just means I'm a follower of who? I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm an imitator of Jesus. So he says, listen, now that you're following me, I want you to go get others to also do what? To follow me. I want you to what? Multiply. And how do we do that? Well, we just simply tell them the same story. You know what? God desires a relationship with you. But you can't have that relationship, and I couldn't have that relationship because of my sin. My sin causes a barrier. And because of that, if I die in my sin, I will experience eternal separation from God. That's what's known as hell. But God still loved me, and this was his plan. He sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross. And Jesus died and he paid the penalty for my sin, which was death. And 3 days later, he rose again from the dead and he changed me. And if you will just simply receive by God's grace his gift, you can be changed also. Would you like to receive the gift of eternal life and become a follower of Jesus and to repent of your sin and to walk in his ways? If they say yes, now you've just made a disciple. And God says, listen, this is my desire that you would multiply and that you would be able to continue to make this godly kingdom that I wanted with Adam and Eve, but now I've given the church. But notice the plan hasn't changed. It's the same exact plan, and he's called us to be the ones who would multiply. Secondly, he says, I want you to fill the earth. Notice he says, listen, I don't want you just to do it in Jerusalem, but I want you to go to all the nations. And the word there, as you look for nations, is really talking about every single type of family. There's these tribes and tongues, but what he's saying is, listen, not the nuclear family, but the big family. And he's saying, listen, I want a representative of every family from every part of this earth to be able to come and to worship me. Notice what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 5. It says, and they sang a new song when we get a glimpse of what's taking place in heaven. And it says, you are worthy to take the scroll, talking about Jesus, and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your word. And out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Who does God want to see saved? Everybody. And what does that mean for us as a church? That means we've got to be a church that loves missions. We've got to be a church that says, you know what, it's not just about reaching Bakersfield for Jesus, it's about reaching the world for Jesus, amen? So we have to be able to sacrificially give so that we can send missionaries overseas. We've got to be willing to say, I'm willing to go. Sometimes I'm willing to give up my week of vacation so that I can go to a different land to tell others about Jesus. We have a responsibility to let the whole world know who Jesus is. And then third, we see that we need to subdue. We are to rule the world. We see that we have been made kings and priests, as he said earlier, but we see that he has desired to, and he said, listen, I have given all authority to you, and I want you to go and make disciples. And listen, you are to be my ambassadors. You are to be my representatives. And under that, you have the authority which I have given you. I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I have declared that you are over all. So I want you to use your authority, and I want you to fight against evil. And there's going to be principalities of darkness everywhere. But you have my authority. You are greater through me than he who is in the world. We will lose if we fight Satan on our own. But when we have Christ in us, we're victorious. Amen. And he says, listen, I want you to rule and to fight against these strongholds. And I want you to live and be victorious in Christ. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge the angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? Have you ever thought about that? If you're a Christian one day, you're going to be judging angels. That's a pretty awesome responsibility. And we need to start thinking a little bit higher of what God has planned for us. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 2. When it talks about Christ, it says, for he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with the glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, we're going to look at this a little bit more in depth, but I want us to try to understand this. God had told Adam and Eve, you are in charge. I've given this authority to you. You are over the earth. And then Satan comes, an animal, as a serpent, and says, listen, you know, God, he's sort of a liar. Believe me. Man, if you eat from that tree that he told you not to, man, you're going to be blessed. You're going to have everything that you need. You're going to be able to be just like God. You'll know how to create your own right and wrong. You'll have that knowledge. You want that, don't you? You don't want him always being the one who says you can do certain things and not certain things. Come on, just do what I say. Man, we hear that voice all the time, don't we? Many times we give in. And Adam and Eve gave in. And when they gave in, they gave the authority that they had to Satan. That's why the Bible says that Satan is the what? The prince of this world. Why? Because man, what? Allowed him to be that way. But God's plan was for who to be in charge? Man. So how was that ever going to happen? Well, he sent Jesus. Jesus came and he died in our place for our sin. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead and overcame sin and death. And then he went to Satan and said, aha, now man is back in charge. And he's the second in the Godhead. And so now man is back in his rightful place. And man, the second Adam, Jesus comes and says, listen, church, I give you all the authority. Now go and exercise it. I'm telling you, I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not Satan, me. And we are victorious. Now go and rule in that authority that I have given you. And he comes and he says, listen, I want you to put the world under subjection. And I want you to go and rule in righteousness and justice and mercy and love. I want you to go and represent me to this world. Now, I don't know about you, but man, that is something to live for, amen? And so many of us are thinking, well, my purpose in life is to get this house or to get this job or to get this degree. Folks, none of that stuff matters. Understand what is important. Understand what is real. It's the kingdom of God. And God has given you authority and he's using you and he says, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to multiply. You should be making disciples. When's the last time you led somebody to Christ? You've got to fill the earth. You've got to be reaching all types of people. When's the last time you sacrificially gave to missions? You're to subdue the earth. You've got to stand up for what's right and wrong. When's the last time you've taken a stand? When's the last time you've seen somebody under affliction and used the authority of Jesus' name over them? You see, man, there's real work to be done, amen? And God has come to us and he says, listen, the church of Jesus Christ, this is what I have for you. Well, real quickly, I want us to see the results of this. And the first thing we're going to see is there's going to be harmony one day. You know, one day Jesus is going to return. And you know, things are going to be a little bit different on this earth than they are now. We get a glimpse of this in Isaiah chapter 11 when we get a view of the millennial kingdom. I look forward to this day. Look at this in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Man, that's going to be awesome. There's going to be no more animal eating animal again. We're going to turn back into vegetarians because there's going to be what? No more death. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. Can you imagine Just letting your child play beside the cobra pit and not worrying about it? Because you don't ever have to worry about that cobra biting them. Because things are the way that what? God intended. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God, those who are truly Christians. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. It says, listen, creation desires for this day to come, for Jesus to return, and for man to be as he was intended to be. To rule with justice and love and goodness. And it says, listen, we often desire that ourselves who are Christians. Any of you ever had that desire to say, man, I'm just ready to go home. I'm just ready to be with Jesus. Man, I can't wait just to escape all this evil. And man, I can't wait to get that new body that doesn't get sick anymore. Man, it's just going to be glorious. We all desire to be back into that harmony that he desires. But we also, secondly, I want you to see that there will be life. There will be no more death. The Bible tells us that we'll eat from the tree of life again. We see that we become vegetarians. No more eating of meat, no more killing. But not only is there just physical life, but there's spiritual life. There's no more sin around us. No more sickness, no more pain. Notice what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. For he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. There will be life. And then finally, I want you to see things will be declared good. In Christ, the Bible says that you receive his righteousness. It is imputed to you. And because it is generally given to us, then we are good. Not that we are good in and of our flesh, but we are good because Christ's account has been given to us and the Holy Spirit has made us a new creation in him. And now, because I am different and I am changed, I can be who God's called me to be. I can be one who can be used of God to make an eternal difference in being able to multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Jesus is the groom. The bride is the church. And as we come together, the desire is that we will multiply and there will be an earth, a kingdom, that will be worshiping and praising Jesus above all else. And then when we stand before God, this is what we want to hear as we see in Matthew chapter 25. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Man, there's nothing greater than to hear Jesus look at you and say, you did good. You were faithful. You did what I asked you to do. I made it very known in the beginning, this is what I wanted you to do. I wanted you to be fruitful, fill the earth, and subdue it. And when he comes to the church, he never changed. He says, I want you to be what? I want you to multiply. I want you to fill the earth. And I want you to what? Subdue it. And the question we have to ask ourselves today is, what story is there going to be for you and me? What story is there going to be for Grace Baptist Church? And I hope that we make the decision today to say we're going to be a people who understand God's commission and that that's our purpose for living. And that's what we're going to live for. Let's pray.